Welcome back.
Everyone's asleep.
It's now hour number two of the first 2 hours in talk radio, the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. A very special guest, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com. Still the best alternative journalist in the truth movement with absolute integrity and not a blemish against her name that hadn't been made up by some crazy insinuating psychopath. And she's wonderful, isn't she? Ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, well, get her to blush from now and again, you know, it keeps her honest.
Jeez, I am blushing. Okay, let me tell you about another story. DHS is releasing government cybersecurity standards for corporations. So the National Institute of Standards and Technology has published the draft of voluntary cybersecurity standards for corporations that outlines how to identify, protect, and detect, as well as respond and recover to hackers. And they are offering this service to corporations only. So guess what? The internet as we know it is under complete attack by hackers. And the only people who will be protected are corporations, along with the government, the Department of Homeland Security, Department of Commerce, Department of U.S. Treasury. Those guys get protection from being hacked, as well as tools that they can use for updating their cybersecurity and target improvements, as well as balancing any risks or assessment.
And of course, all of those upgrades will have like backdoors in them or something,
yes,
like that, where somebody from the government can come in and just look at all your records and stuff like that and spy on you when you think that you're paying them to protect you from cyber criminals, when in actual fact they're that they are the cyber criminals selling you their services.
Yes, exactly. So you and I, you and I own websites. And since we're not corporations, we don't get the same privileges and immunities thereof.
But I am a corporation. I am a corporation. I've got the birth certificate to prove it.
Yes, well, yes, your straw man gets to answer for things. But you are not. You don't get the same privileges as actual corporate fictions.
You know, I want to actually go to court in order to argue for my rights to be a natural living corporation.
You know, I wish that if I'm going to be a corporate fiction, I wish I could get some of the privileges that corporate fictions get. I mean, if I'm going to have this
over
my head.
Corporate profits?
Yeah, no, I should be benefiting from this. If this is the stance that I'm in, then I should be benefiting from this, or allowed to get myself out from underneath it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the corporation should give you dental benefits at least.
Yes. So
I am my own corporation, and I get dental benefits.
Well, see, now here in the United States, we have Obamacare. And even if you go anywhere near the website, you know, people who were on the website trying to get these gold and silver and bronze premium packages, blah, 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 they had to put in all their personal information first. So if they opted out, then they get an email a couple of days later saying, thanks for opting out. Here's how much money you owe to the IRS. And we have money allocated to hire SWAT teams to go get it if you don't want to just hand it over.
You know what? I think most government programs would be more appropriately titled if they were the direct opposite of what they came out with initially. Like, for example, Obamacare would become Obama Don't Care, kind of like Jimmy Crack Corn.
That's what it should be called, Obama I Don't Care. Yeah.
Jimmy Crack Corn and Obama Don't Care.
Yes. You know what? I think you need to write a song.
Jimmy Crack Corn and Obama Don't Care. He's screwing us with the IRS everywhere. Send SWAT teams to your front door. And if you don't hit the floor, they're going to kill you.
Yes, because there's death panels hidden in Obamacare. So guess what? If you're over 65 or under 25, you might be subject to...
what is
you
this?
Need to.
What is this? Logan's Run?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are we
going
to freaking carousel?
I think that if we pay attention to what we've seen in movies, we can get a clear indication of what's happening to us right now, even if we can't see it.
Especially the zombie movies.
Oh my gosh. It's such a huge metaphor and so applicable. But again, I go back to crowd psychology. We've got groups of people, and you don't actually have to be at a protest in the street to be under crowd psychology. You could be under its spell just by listening to a radio show or by going to a website or watching somebody's, you know, news broadcast or going to movies only because you like the actor and you've seen every movie that this actor has made. That is crowd psychology as well.
Mm. So crowd psychology, not exactly also different from zombie psychology either, is it?
Nope, it's pretty much the same. You are under the spell of somebody else's control. You are vying for their agendas. And if you honestly maybe took a look in the mirror and asked yourself, independent of this person or this group, would I still feel the same way? And since very few people actually audit themselves, I don't mean to use terminology from the Mormons. I'm sorry. I'm not advocating Mormons. But
and you certainly weren't using terminology from the Federal Reserve because they never audit themselves.
No, they don't. No, but they'll audit you in a heartbeat. But you know what? I say, show me the law. That's what I say. But anyway, if you're under...
Come on, like Jerry Maguire. Show me the law.
Show me, you know, just show me the law and I'll comply. That's all. I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. That's all. I'm a concerned citizen.
But of course, if you are a concerned citizen, you become an enemy of the state because it's in fact the people who ask you, ask them to show the law that wind up getting the worst treatment. You know, if you obey the law, that means that you're a criminal in a criminal society, don't you think?
Well, yes, if you are a constitutionalist or a patriot, you are against the government. If you believe in sovereignty, if you believe in a constitutional republic in the United States or in your respective country, then you are an enemy of the state. You should ask yourself why that instantly makes you an enemy of the state. Maybe because the government that you're under has nothing to do with what you think it does. And maybe you want to look into that.
And as I say, just assume everything's the opposite. Every official source that tells you something, assume that the truth is probably the opposite of what they're telling you. And if you can't make it in your own kitchen, then it's probably some kind of soft kill by a weapon, right? There's the two assumptions that you can gracefully grift on through the rest of your life. You're welcome.
Well, here's something that I learned today. I had Lori Birkebile of Lori's Talk News Radio on my show right before I came on yours. We were talking about the 14th Amendment, and I learned that our Senate and our House, after the Reconstruction during the Civil War, which was actually the battle between the states, they set up that... the House of Representatives would represent the people and the Senate would represent the state's interest. And I had no idea that when we elect a senator, it's not us, it's the state's interest. And since most of the states are under duress and some of the states have been bought up by the federal government through bankruptcy, I'm very concerned about what comes in and out and what's talked about through the Senate, knowing that they are only vying for the state's interest, which are corporate interests.
There's nothing but corporate interest when it comes to the government, right? That's what fascism is, ladies and gentlemen. That's when the government becomes the corporations, right? And communism is not entirely dissimilar. End result is the same, isn't it? There you go. Isn't that nice? You got this big Nazi family called the Bush family, who, in fact, Prescott Bush, wasn't he a senator at the time that he was prosecuted under the Trading with the Enemy Act because he was responsible for a hell of a lot of Nazi money laundering? And incidentally, about a third of its raw resources that were being exported to Germany that was essential to the war effort, including like 30% of their TNT or whatever. Anybody ever hear about that? You know, George H.W. Bush's father? Oh, daddy was a Nazi war criminal who traded with the enemy and basically made the war continue for a hell of a lot longer than it didn't have to. And wound up being a mass murderer by proxy. Yeah, that's what daddy did. And what did George Bush Sr. do? Well, after his life was saved by hemp, literally, when he was flying in World War II, or it might have been Vietnam, I forget which, because he's pretty damn old. There was a hemp parachute that saved his ass. So naturally, he came back, worked for the CIA, and became a prohibitionist to outlaw that stuff.
Yes.
As well as manufacturing evidence against Saddam Hussein.
You forgot about his involvement in the JFK assassination.
Allegedly.
Oh, yes. I'm sure a lot of what you're saying is alleged.
Oh, everything's right. Alleged. In fact, I have to pre-record an intro to the show to warn people that the pretext or suffix of everything that I say is the word allegedly. Okay?
Why is
everything
that?
Everything I say is alleged because I could be wrong, you know? I might mix up a detail here or there. So you really do have to think for yourself. And that's another thing. It's really annoying being in a radio host position. You're supposed to know everything or whatever. No. Radio hosts don't know nothing. Most of them. Including myself, I don't know nothing. I think about stuff, and I contemplate, but I don't know 100%, because knowing something through and through is quite a difficult thing. It takes an awful lot of effort. So I compensate for my lack of knowledge by getting on people who have what I lack, said knowledge and research. And I simply listen. That's how I compensate for my inadequacy. A lot of other radio show hosts do not do that because they're obsessed with the crowd control mentality. Love having the ability to tell you, the listener, what to think, how to interpret stuff. I don't like that idea. Everybody got their own mind to make up, don't they? And anybody tries to make your own mind up for you, it doesn't have your best interest at heart, because only people that have your best interest at heart let you think for yourself, don't they?
You would think.
There's some obsession.
Now, just to let people understand what this corporations can have all of these protections on the internet really has to do with, last year, President Obama signed a secret policy directive, Presidential Policy Directive 20, which is a guideline that explains how specific federal agencies will be empowered by the Obama administration to intercept online, quote, breaches of security, including hacking and other digital attacks. The military, through DHS, is given control over cybersecurity with Cybercom, who is also headed by the guy who heads the NSA. What is that lovely man's name? Keith Alexander. Yeah, that dude. Yeah. So he's got Cybercom, and he's got the NSA, and he's, you know, part of the DOD, which is the military, who has ultimate control over cybersecurity and U.S. digital information and data and whether or not privacy is protected for you or anyone else. And we have corporations who have immunities now, thanks to the government. If they have a website, they have the right to commerce, or certain select people who have the right to commerce, but not just the general public. So, and this ties into Google's putting out the call that if you want the freedom of the internet, you're going to have to pay for it. If you want services, they're going to start charging you for things, because the only way to protect you is if you pay for it.
Well, I guess there's going to be a lot of people who can then start to compete with Google. And a lot of people who just say, you know what, it's Google, mate. May as well just pay for it. Google
does, you know,
a lot of services.
Idea.
A hell of a lot, actually. They do YouTube now. They do Google Plus, Gmail. These are all services that I'm using now.
Right. There are whole corporations who have all of their information on Google Docs. So
all interfaced with Facebook accounts and Twitter and everything like that. You know, there's quite a substantial portion of actual web accessibility and ability in general that is only there in existence because of Google, let alone people searching for your article, Suzanne.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Google services, you go on Google's apps or the Google store, and like I said, there are whole corporations who have their entire database backed up on Google. So if Google decides to close down or do something, entire businesses, law firms, and retail agencies have everything on Google Cloud. So they're going to be screwed if Google decides to do something.
Yep. Good old Google.
They put the SA in NSA.
They do. They're one of the first corporations to comply with the PRISM program. They use the Glomer response. They neither confirm or deny that they work with the NSA.
Okay. I don't like that phrase, because it seems to be one of the most dangerous phrases whenever there's something that you really desperately need to know that your life depends on. I will not confirm nor deny that there's a threat.
Yes, absolutely. I don't know where this is coming from, but it's coming from somewhere. It could be me. It could not be me. I don't know.
Exactly. That's like a dude telling you, man, this is a bad neighborhood. And they're like, yeah, I need some kind of protection or a baseball bat or something like that. And it's like, nah, man, you need a gun. You know, but guns are illegal in this state. And I'm not advising you to go to 133 Riverside Drive. And I'm not telling you to ask for Gerald, the man with the tattoo of the skull on his left nipple. I am not telling you to order the Smith & Wesson special on ice. I am not telling you to do this. And sure enough, you go there, you look for the man with the skull tattooed on his left nipple, you order the Smith & Wesson on ice, boom, your arm, and he never told you to do anything. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky.
A dark
black
shadow.
Black sunrise,
welcome always back. All right, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I'm getting some kind of a bit of a feedback here. That's not good. That's not good, is it? Okay. Don't know how to correct that. Whoa,
it's gone.
That's good. Having technical issues at the studio, ladies and gentlemen.
I reset
every time we go to a break. Otherwise, the audio starts cutting out on my recordings and so on and so forth. It's this really strange problem that's been going on for like nearly 2 weeks now. It's extraordinarily frustrating. So you'll have to forgive me for my unprofessional mannerisms and veneerisms too. And a very special guest is Suzanne Posel. Are there any posalisms, I wonder?
Oh, I try not to do that. I'm just the messenger. I just let the information flow through me. Do not focus on me.
I think that's kind of like a some sort of a news conduit, you know?
Yes.
like the evil emperor of news.
Yes, boy. Let the news flow through you.
I'm just reporting, people. I didn't make this up. I'm not trying to sway you on anything. I wish I was more imaginative, that I could make up some stuff. But you know what? What's in the news is good enough. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in the third Circuit said that, yes, you have to have a warrant before you attach a GPS device to the vehicle of a suspect, the suspect's vehicle, rather. And this was based on a U.S. versus Katzen, which applied to the Fourth Amendment, which states that the right of the people to be secure in their persons shall not be violated with no warrants issued upon probable cause supported by the oath and affirmation, blah, blah, blah. You have the right to no search and seizure without a warrant. And so the Supreme Court said, yes, the Fourth Amendment, the Constitution, is correct. Thank you for stating that, U.S. Supreme Court. And so people are like, whew, yeah, now they need a warrant. But wait a minute, folks. People forget, back in 2012, the Obama administration gave their consent to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration mandating that black box event data recorders be installed in all new cars. Now, these new recorders are able to record not only the vehicle speed and whether a brake was activated at the moment before crash, but also the driver's habits, including the size and weight of the driver, the seat position, and possibly listening into conversations inside the cab of the car.
Oh, that's really nice. I could just imagine a whole bunch of college grads that are currently on a road trip with a beer in their hand that got pretty sweaty right about now.
Oh, yeah. And this is mandated. This is as of last year. You know, I don't like the idea of police doing anything without a warrant. At least get a warrant. I mean, I know that it's a kangaroo court.
Why do you even need a black box for a car? It's not a 747, motherfucker.
Well, people get into accidents. That's why we need driverless cars.
Accidents happen. Shiite Muslim happens, okay? It's all good. Look, if you try to stop all the bad things in your life from happening, if you eliminate all the risk, then you eliminate the need to even preserve your own life, and you wind up committing suicide or something. All right? What's the leading cause of death in America right now? It's suicide. Because everybody's got so safe. There's nothing to remind you what it's like to really feel alive, is there?
Yes, you can't let your... You know, I have two small children. When I go to the park, if they fall off, my daughter will slide down, and then she slides too fast, so she lands on her butt, you know, in the bark chips underneath the slide, and everybody freaks out. There's no blood, there's no broken bones, there's not even a scratch, but everybody freaks out. Oh my god, attend to your child, they got hurt. Oh geez. You know, my mother used to send me back outside if I wasn't broken or bleeding. And I'm fine.
You see, Chopper Reed had a very good comedy sketch on this. Harden the frack up, you know? Seriously, harden up. Be in touch with your spiritual side and your emotions and everything that's important in your life. But by all means, remind yourself that you're not made out of glass. She'll be right. Stop worrying about stuff all the time, mate. Because you know what? When you're worried about protecting yourself and others around you from any degree of possible harm, whether or not it's serious, you wind up stressing yourself out, and stress is the cause of 90% of all illness. So let me get this straight. You're trying to protect yourself from harm by making yourself ill.
Yes, because war is peace, and down is up, and right is left, and you actually vote the president in, and you know, all these fictions that we believe are true.
The problem is there's just so many of the fictions, and some of them, even though you've been learning for years and years and years, you still believe in some of those fictions, right? Like, how can you go, I mean, how long does it take to go from 100% ignorance everything that you've ever learned over a 20, 30, 40, 50 year lifespan, whatever, is now the direct opposite, but you don't know what the direct opposite is because you've never even looked into it at all. You don't even understand what your building blocks of life that are the granite that your roots are in. You don't know your own family tree. You don't know how to take care of yourself or your family. There's nothing of value left. They've squeezed it all out of society. They got us all distracted from each other with their smartphones. I've heard countless stories. I've not seen this phenomenon myself, but I've heard countless stories from many people that I know where they will be in America and barely ever be able to talk to anybody because everybody's plugged into their freaking smartphone, even when they're walking along the beach holding hands. Both of them are on their freaking smartphones. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
You go to a restaurant and you see a couple who obviously like each other. They may even be in love, married couples. And as soon as they sit down, they pick up their cell phone and they're texting. They're searching on the. They're not even looking at each other. They're not talking. They put their order in. The food comes. Then never once do they look at each other. It's I can't imagine what their life is at home.
We've become post-human, I think, is a term that was coined, where we will cease to be human as we begin to directly interface with technology. Right? Transhumanism. And I think that it's going to be very easy to convince people to take a microchip. After all, it's like a cell phone planted in your arm. How you use your cell phone, it's in your hand all the time anyway. What does it matter? And well, it'll be now really convenient, you know. You won't have to worry about which card you've got or whether or not you've got your right security or anything like that. It'll be perfectly imprinted to you. Nobody could steal your identity, whatever. It's going to make society so much better until you start protesting against it. Then they just turn your chip off and you can't even identify who you are, let alone buy groceries, and you're freaking dead in a week.
Well, listen to this. Stanford Human Intracranial Cognitive Center decided that they were going to perform a little test, and they realized that they were able to peek into the mind when they were on these test subjects to eavesdrop on how the brain, how thoughts are formed in the brain, and how we go from normal behaviors, such as pain, eating, drinking, and talking, and how our neurological makeup works, how all the neurons and the electrons fire, and how the synapses work. They were able to see what people were thinking. So they realized that they need to start studying this further, because this will lead to mind control devices. In fact, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology announced that they're building an Iron Man suit that will use this technology, that will be able to read the thoughts of the combat soldier to provide combat-ready displays, surmise the tactical environment, and become personalized with that particular soldier. So if you go to put that suit on and you're not the owner of the suit won't function correctly.
Right. Okay. That's nice. So what they do, and this is why I watch a lot of movies, actually, is because you can get kind of an inkling of sort of the vast array of technology that we actually have available to us right now as we speak. And it's incidentally after these movies are released, they come out and announce that they're actually really doing this. And they don't tell you that they've been doing it the whole time and probably have working suits already, all of the gadgets and everything, well ahead of its time. They don't tell you that. What they tell you is now they're working on it. After you've been softened up to the idea by seeing it on a jumbo screen. And it's like this with a lot of things. Anything? You ever seen Deep Impact? First movie like ever, I think, to show the black president?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a black president not too long after.
That's
24? 24 yeah. Had a black president as well?
Yes.
See, Hollywood and everything like this, it's so amazing because you imagine the broad array of mind control. Imagine this. You have infinite channels of different types of mind control that you can give people, and you give them a choice of what to brainwash themselves with. And they actually believe that it's really fun and great and energetic with this. And they even have relationships with other people based upon these artificial activities that are simply there to mind control you. Oh, did you see The Simpsons last night? Yeah, man, it was real funny when such and such and blah, blah, blah said what and sup. Everybody is under a spell. A complete total 360 degrees, horizon to horizon, all encompassing inner space and outer mind control. And I think people don't recognize just the general enormity of the scope of just how many things there are out there that you don't even think twice about, that are basically sculpted specifically to make you think something that is not your own thought. It's somebody else's ideas that are being seeded in your brain. And because you can't think, because at the time you're in a subconscious dream state, because of the purposefully studied flicker rate of the television, which takes you off of your beta waves and onto your alpha waves or whatever, or maybe it's the other way around or whatever. So you can't even fully consciously process what you're doing. So it opens you up to subliminal messaging. And if subliminal messaging's been outlawed as well, and yet it goes on all the time. Have you noticed, Suzanne, that every single law there is being broken by somebody at some point? And the higher the stakes are, you know, murder and so on and so forth, the more likely an incredibly powerful person is to be involved. You ever notice that?
I do, and it's a very curious thing that seemingly random acts of violence always have a directed sense of origination if you look deep enough. You know?
That's right. Everything connects to everything else. It's really weird. It's like the world is a psychological, informational spiderweb hologram.
A lot of scientists are saying that somewhere in the universe, what we are seeing is projected from a specific point out there, and that all of this is hologram.
You never know. And what if life was a hologram? Imagine. What would be the point of this game? I'd say the point of most games, holographic, 3D, digital, whatever, is to have fun. I'm having fun. Are you having fun, Suzanne? Of course you are. Now, because we're having fun, allegedly, it's the word of the day, the audience is having fun too. And incidentally, it's the only rule actually imposed on the show hosts of American Freedom Radio. The only thing that you must abide by at all times when you're on air is to have fun. I hope you enjoy it, ladies and gentlemen. It's very rare. A lot of things are very, very deadly serious and hard to hear. If it's not fun, if there's no relief to the tension, who knows what mush might be made of your brains? You might become afraid. And when you're experiencing fear, your cognitive ability starts to shut down. So if somebody's rabbiting things at you that they tell you you ought to be afraid of and do something about, you get so afraid that you can't do anything about it, including even really process it in your own mind. Just chill out. Have some fun. And listen to American Freedom Radio, ladies and gentlemen. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's a very good network. And we're ironing out the kinks to make the best radio in alternative media. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com with Suzanne Posel, Occupy Corporatism.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to win a muckamac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I've
Welcome back.
Air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's broadcasting everywhere, man. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. You can check the archives out at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. I usually put on, I'm on a lot of other people's shows recently. I'm thinking like maybe 2-3 a week or something. And what's fun about that is they tend to listen a hell of a lot because you know, I like to listen to my guests, I guess. Taking a leaf out of my mouth. Anyway, Suzanne Posel, we only have one segment left. It's been a very, very quick 2 hours today.
Oh, absolutely. I have one more story that I'd like to piss you off with.
None of the stories have pissed me off so far. I've quite enjoyed discussing how fracked we all are.
Oh, this should just make you mad then. Okay, so experts are saying.
I don't like the name experts right away. This is already starting to piss me off.
All right. Well, this man's name is Dick Bove. I didn't make that up, folks.
He's an expert, Dick.
Yes, he is. And he is warning banks that they should be concerned about the Department of Justice suing JP Morgan Chase over the mortgage-backed securities. In fact, it is a detriment to the U.S. economy that the federal government, seemingly, is forcing banks to admit to mortgage fraud.
So it's a crime to prosecute us for committing a crime.
Oh, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't be forcing the banks to admit that they did this housing bubble and with the mortgage-backed securities and the derivatives and
destroyed 45% and destroyed 45% of the world's wealth.
No, we can't discuss that because it'll hurt the U.S. economy. And they're too big to fail.
Hold on a second. I think they'd be the experts on what would be bad for the economy. Don't you agree?
Well, yeah, the guy who's doing the damage pretty much knows what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I believe the New York State Gaming Commission got involved when the first ideas of derivative trading were postulated on the stock market. Because it's just straight frickin' gambling.
Yes.
What they've done is they've turned everybody's life into a poker chip that they can play with and magnify that over and over and over again so that that one life is worth 10 deaths.
Yes, and Alan Greenspan, who's the former chair of the Fed, he said that while he was head of the Fed, he had no idea that the housing bubble was about to go, you know, kaput. And if he had known, if he had only known, of course he would have done something to avert the mortgage-backed securities derivative bomb that exploded all over the global economy. If only he had known, you know.
This is the motherfucking Greenspan man. If anybody got his finger on the pulse of the motherfucking disgusting derivatives trading bubble that threatened to consume the entire earth in some kind of financial cosmic black hole, it was Alan freaking Greenspan. There's no freaking way he was telling the truth.
No. You and I know that, but he goes on mainstream
these psychopaths
television.
Are just shameless. They just shamelessly lie about everything. Anytime they ever get called on their BS, they just lie about it and lie about it until they can't lie about it anymore, and then they start threatening you.
Oh, they're only exercising their First Amendment right to free speech. It's not a threat.
Oh, yeah.
First Amendment says that I can say whatever I want.
Yeah.
Except it doesn't, folks. I'm sorry. Go and read it. doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that, man. There's a whole lot of things that you can say that can destroy and damage things, like countries, for example, just by lighting a fire in the minds of men. And you've got to keep those little fires put out whenever you can, whether or not they be lies for good or lies for ill. In fact, is there even such a thing as a lie for good? You know?
Well, see,
this is just white lie going... because people can't, people just too soft to handle the frickin' truth these days.
Absolutely. And you and I keep circling this crowd psychology thing. See, now you're going back to it. The mindset of the crowd, the group, whatever group think that you belong to, then becomes adopted into yourself and it becomes personal. So when that person is attacked, Alan Greenspan couldn't possibly have been lying. Of course he tells the truth, but anybody who attacks Alan Greenspan, how could you attack this old man? He did so much for the Federal Reserve. How, you know, how could you say anything bad about him? It becomes personal for the audience. That
well,
they
and then they
attacked.
Start attacking you. You know, that's the thing. You can't criticize Alan Greenspan. You're just a communist, evil manifesto, implant, frickin' operative of the Chinese, Russian, Yugoslavian, frickin' Slobodan Milosevic chain gang, bankster crew. You are just terrible people. You are. You know, they make it personal. Well, it's not personal. It's just intellectual, okay? You know the guy. Alan Greenspan, you know that he's in a position to know what's going on. And so it's just not believable.
No, it's
for
not.
Him
either,
to say he doesn't know.
Yeah, either Alan Greenspan is a complete moron or he knew about it and he's just saying that he didn't know. Either he was
an
totally
argument,
inept in his job and he should have been replaced, or he's lying.
I think an argument can be made for both.
Oh, really?
He's a lying moron.
Could be. I mean, we give people in suits way too much credit.
Well, actually, also, people also must understand. I think a lot of the bad things that happen are all happened by accident. You know, like a coincidence theorist. I think everything happens by accident. You know, as opposed to a conspiracy theorist who believes that powerful people who have a lot of influence actually use their power and their influence in order to expand both their power and their influence.
Oh, you know.
That's what a conspiracy theorist is.
Yes, because we look, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist because when I see an article in the news, I look up the corporations and the people involved and find out what they're involved in. And if you have, I don't know, Ted Cruz talking for the Tea Party and his wife works for Goldman Sachs and he receives money from Goldman Sachs, if I point that out, I'm a conspiracy theorist. But it's
That's
just
right.
a fact.
Well, facts that are uncomfortable to the current regime and domination of the slaves is considered conspiracy theory and therefore nobody should look at it. Do the words from the Wizard of Oz pay no attention to that man behind the curtain mean anything to anybody anymore?
Oh, yes. And if you advocate non-compliance as opposed to violent revolt, you're crazier than the conspiracy theorists. The idea that if we just stop feeding the system, we'll shut it down long enough to get control over it doesn't make any sense. It makes sense to go ahead and get millions of people killed in a civilian coup.
Oh, my God.
I must
Pray
be crazy.
God. Pray God deliver the United States of America from militant, insane, psychopathic, wannabe El Presidentes. You know, there's something really, really wrong with America, and I think all the Americans know it, or at least they frickin' well should.
Yeah, like we can't have, you know, marijuana, cannabis cannot be legal. However, former Microsoft executive is getting together with the president of Mexico, I believe it is, and the former president, I'm sorry, Vincent Fox, and getting this whole branding issue going on with marijuana, pushing it as a brand. They're gonna monetize this and corporatize it and make it into something that's trendy and neat. Meanwhile,
they're gonna marijuana. They're gonna Oh, hold on a second. Like a mixture between monetize and marijuana. Marijuanatize.
Yes. They're going to marijuanatize it. Yes. Because if they can't, you know, the reason why they don't tell you to eat healthy is because there's no money in it. There's money in pharmaceuticals. There's no money in legalizing marijuana because they, well, they could tax it, but they don't want to because they make more money with it being illegal. But then again, people could use it for medicinal purposes, and there's no money in that.
You put the pharmaceutical business out of business, yeah, which would be quite a good thing. Imagine that. Healthy people that are able to cure themselves of cancer or virtually a massive number of any conceivable disease you can think of and build nearly any structure that you really want, or perhaps even make your clothing in, up to 50,000 different industrial products, from car paneling to soap, okay? For frack's sake. No wonder they want to keep it illegal.
For the parachute that might save your life could be made of hemp.
Yep. Hemp, I think the word cannabis in Dutch means cannabis. Oh, canvas. Sorry, the other way around. And incidentally, that's, of course, what made it up. All right, that's where the name comes from. Marijuana, or marijuana, whatever you want to say, means Mary Jane. It's just a local nickname. And so in order to demonize hemp, which everybody knew and used in the early United States, they then called it with a foreign nickname so people would have no idea what it was they were voting on. And overnight, it's illegal and they're all fracked. That's how they do it, ladies and gentlemen. They manipulate you, lie to you, and then pull one over on you. We'll see you again sometime.